Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Anthony, and I am on the speaking team here at Hoboken Grace. I want to welcome those who are listening on the podcast and those who are tuning in to the live stream as well. And then just to echo what Chris has said, if this is your first time with us, we hope you feel right at home and make yourself at home. So we're in the middle of this series called GPS. And in this conversation, we've talked about all sorts of things that can keep us from God, about keeping us from hearing God, keeping us from experiencing God, keeping us from knowing where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. And in this series, we've talked all the weeks. In the first week, we talked about how God wants to be that dominant voice in our life and how we can start to tune out all those other voices that are telling us where to go and what to do. And in week two, we talked about how important it is to seek God, to go into silence and solitude so that we can really start to discern what God's voice is and what he's trying to tell us and where he's trying to tell us to go. And last week, we talked about that inner voice, that voice that tends to sometimes lead us down the wrong path, and how through the Holy Spirit, we can become victorious over that and start to hear where God wants us to go. And this week, we can all agree that there are things that just keep us from God, keep us from knowing us. But it may be that the most dangerous is the most deceptive. The one that you don't see coming. The one that you see and it seems to be pulling us toward him. Now you might be asking yourself, well, Anthony, how does that work? How is it that something can be pushing us towards God and be a bad thing? Well, we can all agree, right, that there are things that we see a mile away that can keep us from God, right? I mean, there are things in the media, there are things in our relationships, things with money, things with family, all this stuff that we can see a mile away that can keep us from God, right? But this one you won't. This one's a little bit harder to see. Now, I want to start today by going straight into Scripture, okay? So we can talk about this confusing passage in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go talking about in Luke chapter 4, all right? And this is famously known as the temptation of Christ, all right? I'll give you a little background on what's going on. Jesus has been led into the wilderness, silence and solitude, to seek God and to hear from him. And there, he's basically met by the devil who begins to tempt him. And this is the first recorded event in Jesus' history after his baptism. All right, so he just has this amazing moment of honor and glory, and we pass right into a moment of conflict and suffering. Because as we see, from great privilege to great conflict, there could be just a step. See what I did there? It's called dramatic action. So we're in the wilderness with Jesus, okay? Let me paint this picture for you. For 40 days, he's fasting, he's seeking God, he wants to know God more. He's tired, he's famished, and he's tempted. Do we ever see that in our own lives? We see that when sometimes when we're at our weakest, when we don't want anything else to be thrown at us, when we are just done, something else is thrown at us to try to throw us off our game. Well, let's see what happened with Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, we see the very first, Luke 4, verse 1, we see one of the very first things that Jesus is tempted with. So we see that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Now, this one we can make sense, right? This one is a temptation that we see coming, all right? Jesus is supposed to believe that God is going to provide for him no matter what. That is something that he's been taught. That is something that he knows. But the devil says, "You're hungry. Turn this stone into bread." This is a temptation that we see coming all the time. But Jesus said, "You know what? No, I'm going to trust in my Father." Truth be told, this would be a little rough for me. He went 40 days without food. I go 40 minutes and I get testy. Let's check out number 2, all right? The second temptation is that the devil, in verse 5, it says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' See, Satan's second temptation was to persuade Jesus to gain and grasp at worldly power by unlawful means. We see that as well, right? These first two temptations, they make sense. We see them coming, all right? You're hungry, break your fast, eat some bread, all right? You want to gain the world by unlawful means? We can help you do that as well. We see these temptations coming. But it's the third one that's a little bit curious. Let's take a look at it. Verse 9 says, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So the temptation is to show the world who you are? I don't get it. In a couple of weeks, he's going to be showing all kinds of miracles. He's going to be doing all these amazing things. So the temptation is show the world who you are. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with showing him why he came and who he is and why he's there? I mean, it would have been amazing, right? Think about it. There's this big, old, tall, big temple, all right? And as Jesus stood at the top of the temple, the crowds would have started to gather. They look up. They say, what's going on? Who's this guy? And all of a sudden, there would have been a collective gasp as Jesus jumped from the temple. Let's do a collective gasp on the count of three. One, two, three. Very good. And a collective gasp as he starts to go down, and he's jumping, and as he nears certain death, angels would have appeared and brought him safely down to the ground, unharmed. It would have been amazing, right? Instantly, people would have known that they were in the presence of a deity. They would have known. Jesus would have had their attention. He could have taught great truths. He could have pointed great people to great things. He could have taught. He could have inspired. He could have educated. He could have said, God loves you, and people would have believed it. So what's the temptation? Here's the temptation. There was something missing. Something that Jesus knew. And that was the cross. Jesus knew that it was not the right time and the right place for him to show who he was. It's interesting. Jesus was committed to honor his Father no matter what. We knew that the path to the cross is full of pain and suffering, but Jesus said, no, I am not going to take a shortcut. I am not going to exchange this good thing for a God thing. I am not going to take this good plan, seemingly good. I'm not going to get hurt. Everybody's still going to know who I am, right? But it was not part of God's plan. You must not test the Lord your God. See, the reason that these early temptations are so important is that they show that Jesus would not take any shortcut, good or bad, to obedience. Think about our own tests of God. Do we ever do this? Do we ever say to ourselves, oh Lord, if you just get me out of this speeding ticket, I will never speed again. Or it is Sunday morning. Didn't any of you have this last night? Oh Lord, when you woke up this morning, did you say, Lord, if you get this headache away, I will never drink again. Or how about God? If you really love me, you'll take this heartache away. You see, in this moment, Jesus teaches us something profound, something that we must understand. That the most deceitful temptation is those when we are tempted to do a good thing that is not a God thing. See, we want God to bless our good plan instead of following his plan. Often the things that keep us from God is not an evil thing, but is something at the wrong place at the wrong time. And hey, guess what? Even if it's the right thing at the wrong time, it's still the wrong thing. We are thought of in life that as soon as something, I mean, this culture today, we live in a culture of just go get it if it's good. Immediately. If we see something good, we are taught to go for it and grab it immediately. We don't like delayed gratification. We don't like to wait for things. That's why we microwave our food. That's why we send emails. That's why we send overnight packages. We hate waiting. Think about it yourselves. When was the last time you waited in line patiently and you were nice and everything was fine? Absolutely not. You hate everybody that's in front of you. Last night, we got my wife and I, I spent the last 3 weeks in the United Kingdom. I was directing a show in Scotland, and my wife came to join me for the last week, and we were there. We landed at 11:30 last night. Whew, thank goodness we made it. And we landed at 11:30 last night, and then we have to go through that big, old, long line of customs, right? And it is the longest line. It's 11:30, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to speak today. My wife has got to sing today. And then everybody in front of me was just the worst person in the world automatically. You know, oh, why didn't you have your passport out to begin with? Why are these people taking their time? We knew we were going out of customs. Why didn't you fill out your border pass patrol? We had them since the beginning of the flight. It's 7 hours. Why didn't you fill it out then? And then, of course, the person in front of me, you know, the cop is taking forever. He's checking everything. Wait, you never check anything. I brought tea. It's the United Kingdom. That's what I brought back. Let me go. And my wife turns to me and she goes, relax. What are you talking about tomorrow? You be quiet. But we hate delays. We hate being delayed. We don't like it at all. Unless it's something that we don't care about, we don't really want to do. You know, like going to the dentist. I would much rather sit in the lobby reading highlights than going into that chair. We hate being delayed. We hate doing that. Because, listen, we hate thinking that, yeah, maybe there is something good out there. There might be something better out there, but we want it now. I have this iPhone here. I can download music. I can play games. I can do whatever I want. We have this instant gratification right here. We want it all right now because we think it's good. We're going to put it on there. We move on to the next step. I didn't put this in the slides, but I want you to read this. I want you to read this passage from the Psalms. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Oh, we hate waiting. We hate being patient. One of my mother's favorite phrases is that, you know, that's the virtue. God didn't give me patience. But we have to wait because God gives us these hopes and our dreams, right? We think about it, that God gives these hopes and dreams in our life, and we want them to come into fruition. But we don't necessarily know when they're going to happen. And I know it's frustrating. Trust me, I have my own hopes and dreams and desires that haven't come into fruition yet. But we have to believe that that's because of God's timing. I mean, think about it. It's frustrating, but how many of us would be willing to continue in this game if we knew where we were going to end up? If we knew what was going to happen at the end, good or bad, would we continue down this path whether we knew or not? Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew what he had to do, and he knew it was going to be a rocky road there. He knew it was going to be a tough, tough thing. Would we have the same power, would we have the same desire to do that if we knew where we were going was good or bad? We have to learn to accept God's timing, whether we like it or not, and that's hard, especially because we're in a society of now, now, now. And this happens all over the scriptures. This happens all over the Bible. Okay? I'm an actor, for those of you, some of you know, and I know this story as Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But it is a story that's actually from the Bible about Joseph. And Joseph was given a dream, and it took forever. It took a really long time. God gave Joseph this dream, and it took a long time to come into fruition. It took a long time to happen. I mean, he was falsely accused. He was imprisoned before this dream happened. Let's look at what happened to the Israelites, okay? So we're going into Exodus, all right? And Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18. The first line, when Pharaoh let the people go. And if those of you are familiar with the story of the Pharaoh letting people go, they were a long time before they were let go. God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds, return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. This tells us that God led the Israelites the longer and harder way. He knew they weren't ready. He knew they weren't ready to go in. There had to be a time of training. There had to be a time of grooming. There had to be a time that he was going to make it happen. And listen, this is what it says. It says God never failed to take care of them and show them what he wanted them to do. God's training period simply tells us that we have to rely on what God is. He's training us to do it. There's a lot of good things out there that I want to do that I'm sure will be great if I learn how to do them.
scuba diving. I hear it's good, but I don't know what to do with the whole air tank and the suit that's probably unflattering on me. But if I go through the training, maybe it'll be a great thing. Maybe it'll be a cool thing. Exercising. Some people like doing that. I haven't figured that out yet. But hopefully, once you do a good thing, it'll turn into a great thing. But more specifically, good to great is not this. It's that God's timing is not just about blessing our good thing. Because Lord knows we want that to happen. We want God to bless our good plans. But we would hope and pray that it is also God's plan. Good things versus God things. We have no idea sometimes what God has in store for us. Like I said, I'm an actor, right? We have to go through a lot of things. We have to do a lot of things called auditions. I hate them, but we have to do them. And one of my, you know, we all have dreams and desires. Think about it. When we were a kid, we have all things that we wanted to do, what you want to be when you grow up. And this desire to be an actor, it came before I knew Christ. It came when I was in high school, and I just kind of rode this wave of going to school for it, and I went to grad school for it. And one of the big opportunities came in 2008. I had an audition for the Broadway company of The Lion King. And there's one role I could play in that, and that's a flatulating warthog. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, I got my master's in Shakespeare to play a flatulating warthog. But man, did I want to do that. I would love to be on Broadway in The Lion King as Pumbaa. I mean, it would be amazing. So I get this opportunity. I get this opportunity to audition for the role. They give me sides. They give me scene, you know, a scene for it to do in the audition. And then I get to go into an actual job interview and audition and sing Hakuna Matata, where it's appropriate. There are some job interviews that you went in and sing Hakuna Matata, you would not be getting that job. But this is the one I get to go in for the first time. I sing my song, I do my scene, and then they call me back. That means they want to see me again. That means I get to go in front of some more people. So I go in front of some more people, I sing my song, I do my scene, everything is great. I get called back a third time. This is for the big people, right? These are for the money people, the executive producers, the director, all this big thing. I'm singing Hakuna Matata, I'm doing my scene, and nothing happens. I don't get it. No call, no good job, nothing. A year later, around the same time, I get a call from my agent and says, hey, The Lion King's going out on a national tour. It's going to go all over the country, and they're looking for a Pumbaa. So I go in, second year in a row, I do my scene, I do my song, and I get called back again. I do my sing, I do my song, and I get called back again. For those of you keeping track, this is now six times singing Hakuna Matata, sing like me. There's not too many ways you can sing Hakuna Matata. And finally, I get in there for the sixth time in front of the producers, the director, the big money people, and I don't hear anything. Oh, and I wanted this. You ever want something so bad that you were just praying for this? Oh, God, this is my big break. I know this is it. This is what I've been working so hard for. This is what I want to do. This is what I went to school for. This is what I did those stupid dance classes for. This is all of this stuff. This is why I'm here. I know, God, please let this happen. And then about 2 weeks later, on a Wednesday afternoon, I get a call from my agent that says, hey, Anthony, if you had to leave on Friday, could you do it? The guy is not working out. The Pumbaa's not that great, apparently. And they want to offer you, they want to see if you're available to possibly do the role. And I said, yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness. God answered my prayers. Yes, absolutely. He goes, well, it's not an offer yet. Don't get too excited. But they just want to know if you're available. We'll know before Friday, because obviously that's when they want you to leave. So just breathe. Well, how can I breathe? I got to get my affairs in order. I got to call my job and tell them I'm not going to be there. I got to find a sublet for my apartment. At the time, I was living on the Upper East Side. I got to put my affairs in order. But then I didn't hear anything. Wednesday night goes by. All Thursday goes by. I don't know if I've got this or not. And I'm praying. I'm going, God, please bless this. Please let this happen. Please let this happen. And then at 9 o'clock on Thursday evening, 9 p.m., I get a call from my agent that says, Anthony, it's a no-go. That's all right. You can all do that. Oh, thank you. I was sad, too. Sat at home eating Doritos, drinking a Yoo-Hoo. I guess it wasn't the right plan. And I got frustrated. Man, did I get frustrated. I said, God, this is what I was supposed to be doing. This is what I was here for.
Thinking back about it now, I was praying that I was supposed to be a warthog, but stay with me. I was so depressed. I was so sad. And that happens a lot in our lives when we want something so bad and then we don't get it. We think that God doesn't like us. We think that God doesn't want to bless us. And we see lots of other people in our lives that they're doing great things and, oh, they got that role. It's one of the hardest things for an actor is to not compare themselves to anybody else when we all are on this path alone. And I'm sure you guys have felt that too. When you start to compare your career to other people and you start comparing your life to other people and you're thinking, well, God, you're blessing them. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's something that we can't do. So about 2 weeks later, I got an audition after the, you know, after the pain wore off that I wasn't going to be in The Lion King. I got an audition for an off-Broadway production of Hamlet. Well, it's not The Lion King, but it's been around for 400 years, so I hear it's good. So I went and I did my audition for Hamlet. Not for Hamlet himself, because he's younger and I don't look at him at all. But I had a couple of small roles, and I got cast, and yeah, I was working as an actor. It was an off-Broadway production. I was getting paid. I was earning my health weeks and all that good stuff, and I was working in Manhattan. I didn't have to travel. And I was like, well, it's not The Lion King, but whatever. So I'm going through rehearsals, and I'm going through technicals, and we get to dress rehearsals, and we start to work with the ushers. Now, this was a show that actually moved around from location to location, and so they had people that were actually just there for crowd control. And stationed by my first entrance, by my pillar, was a young woman named Dana Tomasco. And I kind of had a fancy for Miss Dana Tomasco at that time, and I started talking with her. We started talking with her some more. And those of you know that Dana Tomasco later became Dana Reimer, my wife. Bless you. But think about it. One of the greatest things to ever happen to me happened when I thought God shut the door on something that I wanted so bad. And thinking back on it now, wow, I'm thanking him. Because I would have been traveling the country doing the show. Would it have been a good thing? Yeah, but it wasn't a God thing. It wasn't what God had in store for me. And yes, I was crushed. And yes, I was down. But man, what an amazing gift. What an amazing thing to happen. Not only did I get to still act and do a show, but I met my wife. I met my partner, and you see how God was training people to get there. I didn't become a Christ follower until 2007, when I was in grad school. I couldn't have met Dana in 2006 or 2005. I wouldn't have been ready spiritually, and she probably wouldn't have given me a second thought. That was a big deal to her that I was a Christ follower, and it was a big deal for me that I found someone, this godly woman. That was a huge thing for me, but I wasn't ready. And then I look back after I became a Christ follower in grad school, and I think about all of these things that God was doing in my life to make that happen. How even when I seemingly wasn't trusting him because I didn't know him, that God was still pushing me on this path. I had to go to grad school in Alabama because I had to meet Pastor Keith Waldrop at a coffee shop one day, who later would baptize me in Montgomery's Christ Community Church. Just from being there for lunch. You never know. And then I had to go through this program and earn my degree in Shakespeare in order to even get that audition for Hamlet. All of these things lined up. God's plans, God's timing were much better than the plans for my life. Was it a good plan? Yeah, I would have loved to have sang Hakuna Matata for a year. But something greater, something God-filled, was right in front of me, only 2 more weeks away. And we see that all over. We need to begin to depend on God. It was at that moment that I realized, wow, God, I really just need to start giving it up to you. I really just need to say, you know what, God, clearly your plans are better than my plans. And I'm still fighting with this. I know it's hard to understand that because society tells us we want to depend on ourselves, right? We are self-made people. We are the self-made woman. We're the self-made man. We're going to get to where we want to go. We have to fight and sing. And yes, I'm not saying you have to sit idly by and let things happen because we have to work to get where we need to go. But on the same token, we can't keep trusting ourselves. I mean, we all have wants and our desires. Thank goodness my wants and desires changed from when I was a kid. I never gave my parents much hope. First, I wanted to be a professional wrestler when I grew up. Then I wanted to be a baseball player. And then I decided the most secure of all would be an actor. Things are going to change. Dreams are going to change. And ultimately, we have to see this. One of my favorite books by C.S. Lewis is called The Screwtape Letters. And they did a great off-Broadway run of one-man version of Screwtape Letters. And the best way to describe The Screwtape Letters is it's more or less, how did I put it? I put it really nice. Spiritual warfare from the demon's point of view. And in it, the devil's chief psychiatrist, Screwtape, is writing letters to his nephew. And I just love this quote about how sometimes we can get on the wrong path. It says, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Sometimes it's just easier to stay in a job that we're comfortable with because it's comfortable. Sometimes it's easier to stay in a relationship with somebody who may not be right for us because we don't want to create waves and we don't know if there's going to be anybody out there for us. It's hard to trust, but you got to understand that Jesus was also tempted, and Jesus faced the same type of struggles when he was being tested. The devil was nudging him to turn away from God's care, for what he knew was right, for what he knew his purpose was, for what he knew what God's plan was, to follow a seemingly good plan. The devil was taking something that was good and saying, "Look how good this is." But it had nothing to do with God's plan. Some of you are frustrated because God isn't blessing your good plan. Well, that's the problem. It's your plan, and it's not God's plan. So how do we start to realize what God's plan is for our life? How do we get on that path? In your packet, you have a memory verse card that's very much about that you must not test the Lord your God. And I didn't put this in the slides because I want you guys to write something on the back of this memory card. These are five words that if you follow the life of Jesus throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These five words come up all the time in Jesus' life. And these are ways that Jesus started to find and started to hear and started to define how he was going to be on this path and how he was going to find what God's plan was for his life and how he was able to live it out. So we're going to talk about these five words in a second, but I want to give them to you first. The first one is follow. The second one, go ahead and write this down, is seek, S-E-E-K. The third one is question. The fourth is trust. And the fifth is obey. Follow, seek, question, trust, obey. Let's talk about follow. Jesus knew it wasn't simply about good or bad, it was about following. Jesus knew that God had a better plan for his life. He knew that he had a God plan for his life, not just a good plan, so he was determined to follow God. In your life, you say, "God, I'm going to follow you." Next, he sought God. He sought after him. We talked about this a lot in the previous weeks about ways that we can start to hear God more and how we can seek him, how we can go into silence and how we can go into solitude and we can begin to read our Bible and we can begin to listen to worship music and we can go out and seek him and have his voice turned up so loud that we can be able to distinguish his voice above all others. Number three is question. God,
is this what you want me to do? Am I on the right path? This is a big one for me right now, guys, because right now I'm having an inner battle in my own life about the path that I want to be on versus the path that I think that I should be on versus the path that God wants me on. My wife sent me this thing one time that said, "Have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it?" Maybe she was hinting at something. But it's true. We have to question. We have to bring it to God. And maybe underneath these five words, you write down something that you want God to bless, a path, something that you are working through right now. And you just say, "God, is this your plan? Is this a God plan? And if it is, how do I get there? And if it's not, and it's something that I am starting to try and pray daily, is that, God, if this isn't part of your plan, please take these desires away and replace them with something that is." The next one is trust. One of the hardest things we have to do, one of the most difficult things we have to do in anything in life is trust. We have such a hard time trusting people and trusting friends and trusting family members and trusting the loved ones who've hurt us. Sometimes that word trust is just so foreign to us because we don't trust. Those in the speaking team know that I'm a big fan of definitions. So this definition that I found, I think, shows what trust really is. To trust means to obey willingly without knowing the end from the beginning. To trust means to obey willingly without knowing the end from the beginning. I mean, this life is an experience in profound trust. Trust in Jesus, trust in his teaching, trust in our capacity is led by the Holy Spirit to obey those teachings. It's hard to trust. And for those of you who are just beginning this journey, or those of you who are in here that may not know God, that may sit there and you're listening to Anthony, "Well, that's all fine and good, but what if I don't know God? What if I don't trust God? What if I have an issue with God?" We have to start to learn the three things, and that God really does want the best for us. And number one is that God is present. We have to believe that God is good, and that we also have to believe that God ultimately does love you. And that phrase gets thrown around a lot. I mean, you see those bumper stickers, "Honk if you love Jesus." Jesus loves you. We hear that all the time, but we have to really, truly believe that Jesus does love us in order to begin to trust him. I mean, there are people that I love, and trust me, I want what's best for them. I know that in my own life. And think about the people that you love, the people that you love so much that you really just want them to be happy. You really want what's best for them. We have to trust and know that that's what God wants us to do as well, to trust him. And last but not least, we have to obey. We have to be willing to go where he is leading us to go. And trust and obey may be the hardest things that we are dealing with today, because sometimes we don't want to do that. It may not be the easiest path. It may not be the nicest path. I mean, think about Jesus' own life. Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to be inflicted on so much pain, and that he knew that he was going to be hurt. He knew all of these awful things that were going to happen. But he knew that that was part of God's plan. Jesus' purpose. Jesus came for one distinct purpose, to save us from our sin, and Jesus was very aware of that purpose and of God's timing. Jesus knew that there was a whole bunch of things that needed to happen for that timing to be in place. We need to just obey it, leave it up. One of my favorite verses, some people call it your life verse, some people call it the verse that keeps popping up in our lives, the one for a reason. For me, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." It's one of the hardest things to do, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. It's not going to make sense. Sometimes it's not going to make sense. There are things that are popping up in my life right now that I never thought were going to be possible, but they're there. And I have to pay attention to that for a reason, to believe that they are there for a reason. There is a temptation to make future decisions with no regard to God's timing. But Jesus knew what a good thing versus a God thing was. Is this plan in your life a good thing
or a God thing. And that's my prayer for you guys today, is that all these things, maybe the things that you wrote down on the back of the card, maybe the things that you're thinking about right now, maybe the things that you are thinking about that are churning inside of you, that keep you awake at nights, and that the first thing you think about in the morning, bring it to God and say, God, if this is your will, let it happen. We need to walk. Now, you might be saying, well, Anthony, Jesus knew God, but that's right. Jesus was able to determine his timing. He was able to determine where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do because his heart was so in tune with what God wanted. He was so in tune with what the gods. It says right here, we need to walk so closely with God that we can discern his prompting for us to move forward or to change direction in life. We need to take that time away. We need to step back. And we need to ask God, what are your plans? In this situation, don't ask, is it good or bad? Ask, is it God or is it just good? Is this a good thing or is this a God thing? Today, I leave you with this question. Would you be willing to put aside something good for something great, for something God has in store for you? Will you pray with me? God, there's so much going on right now. There is so much to think about. There is so much that is being pressed on my heart. And I have no doubt that there are so many things that are coming up in our hearts right now. God, you are calling us to trust you, and you are calling us to seek you, and you want us to. Father, sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we don't want to give up that desire. We don't want to give up our dreams. We don't want to give up something that we've been holding on to for so long. But God, show us that when we give things up to you, when we truly, truly follow you, seek you, trust you, obey you, that the God thing is in store. That you will bless our good plan if it is a God plan. And if it's not, that you will help us to understand what that God plan is. Jesus knew. And just as we want to know Jesus, oh, I pray that we want to know Jesus and we want to know who he is and we want to hear his teachings. That you will help us be so in tune with what you want for our life, that you will begin this path right now, wherever we are, to hear you loud and clear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.